For your journey in life, you need direction from the master. Get set, for the word you're about to hear is a roadmap out of every challenge into newness of life. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi-Adams.
Because what we do in the positive supernatural is the same thing that other native doctors do in the negative supernatural. Why? Because they relate with other spirit also. Are we together?
Yes.
Now the whole aim of salvation is to bring us back to Genesis 3 verse 8. When God was having intimate fellowship with man. And then when man wronged, God came and said, man, where are you? Are we together? So the aim of us is to bring us to a point where we have a good and an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, where He talks to us, we talk to Him, we are acquainted with His ways, and we know the way He will praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, intimacy with the Holy Spirit as it relates to the Holy Spirit, the supernatural, is not only left for the fivefold ministers or for people that are spiritually inclined. It is expected that all of us know the Holy Spirit, just like every child is supposed to relate with his father well. Are we together? Now, the first benefit of intimacy often is God reveals his heart desires to anybody that is close to him. The closer you get to somebody, the closer you'll be able to have access to his heart. Are we together? The closer you get to know the Holy Spirit, the closer you'll be able to know their panties. Psalm 25 verse 14, the Bible says, the secret of the Lord are with them that fear thee. And when we read down into the 2 verse 47, the Bible says there is a God that keepeth secret and he revealeth it to men. So the more you get intimate with the Holy Spirit, the closer you get to him, you'll be able to know his heart desires, his heart longing. Hallelujah. Be able to know what will the Holy Spirit have you do, what will you have to. The closer you get to God, the closer you get in pursuit with God, you'll be able to know his will. And another benefit is you get to understand who God is really, not about him. You know, Psalms 44 verse 1 says, God, we have heard about you. Our fathers have told us about you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
How thou did possess the land, and we got the land by possession, not by our own strength. The truth is, many of us are aware that the Holy Spirit can heal. We are aware that the Holy Spirit can make you laugh. I was just speaking with somebody today that he used to have an experience that he doesn't know what it means. So that sometimes when a spirit comes, when you just have that experience and just start laughing, is it normal? I said, when you laugh is when you have that kind of experience. So sometimes you feel heat. Or when he's talking and he's over talking, you just feel like somebody tap him on the back. That means to keep quiet. I say, yes, you need to train your senses. I say, you need to listen to your, okay, not that, I didn't even tell you to preach about your Wednesday. You need to develop your senses to be able to know what God is talking. Hallelujah. But then you'll be able to understand who God is really, not about him. Many people have heard many things about God. Hallelujah. When we read the Bible, all we do is to read about him. But we don't really know him for ourselves. Hallelujah. Now when you go to tell somebody about me, you say, Apostle is this, Apostle is this. Now you are telling them about me. But for them to really know who I am, they have to come closely, personally, to be able to experience it. Is that not true? So somebody can tell you about God, like we have heard about you. We used to watch on TV how God can make somebody prosperous. We used to watch on TV how God can lead them. We used to read about. But then when you get intimate with somebody, you don't really know about the person, you understand or you know the person yourself. So that you yourself can have a version of that person. When somebody asks you about somebody, you'll be able to say first-hand information. Altogether, you'll be able to say first-hand information. Now, you will notice that when you relate with the Holy Spirit and you're given a chance to talk about intimacy, you will say slightly different things because from what somebody else will say, because most times your intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit is not the same with somebody else. Is that true? Are you together?
Yes.
Your intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit is not the same with somebody else. There is no too intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you together? That is why it may not be similar in the sense that we know that like the Spirit of God is says pure, is sincere, is wise in generality. But most times when God, okay, like me now, I can be reading the Bible. Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I just lose my peace. And I know I shouldn't be reading my Bible. It means I should be praying. but to listen to a message. There are days where I don't feel like listening to a message at all. All I feel like is praying. There are days, I'm not saying that I should not read the Bible completely. They were like, let's say, I just have the Bible to read now, but I just feel like, I shouldn't read the Bible. But reading the Bible is spiritual, but I just feel like I should be praying. Then I just start praying. There are weeks when I feel like reading books for a long while. Altogether, and that is my own experience. Now, somebody else's experience will never be the same. It's not possible to be the same. Most of them, we have unique experiences. Altogether, so when you relate, you'll be able to tell about it. That is why a man of God like that, Adeboye, has an experience with the Holy Spirit about purity. And as far as they are concerned in the redeemed or in the deeper life, holiness has a particular way he perceives it based on his dealing with the Holy Spirit. Now, that they are Bishop Oyedepo, T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn, Pastor Chris, Oyakhilome, all of them view holiness and righteousness in another perspective. So when you see their fruit, you don't say, okay, this is the way this person looks about holiness, but this is the way this person looks about holiness. That's true. Why? Because, and all of them are dealt by the same Holy Spirit. But the dealing of the Holy Spirit in their lives are not the same. I don't get that. So you'll be able to know about him for yourself. You'll be able to know him, not about him. I don't get that. So what does it mean to seek intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Number one, it means to desire and long for his ever abiding manifest presence. It means to desire and long for his ever abiding manifest presence. Hallelujah. There are many Greek words for the presence of God. The first Greek word is doxa. Another word is what? Shekinah. Another word is what? Greek word for the word zarak. Another word is what? There are many Greek words for the presence of God. Altogether. And then one of it means the omnipresent. Like doxa means the omnipresent. The general Shekinah means manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, when we say, Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, God will never leave us nor forsake us, that we must boldly see the Lord is with us, what can man do unto us? God is always with us. But there are times when you feel extra density of his presence. That true? Did Jesus Christ experience the manifest presence of God? Did he? Where? Transfiguration. Okay. When he was changed to another person. It was Moses and who? Thank you. Is that the manifest presence? The one we say manifest presence, who do we mean? Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son. Is it Holy Spirit? Or God the Father? Or Jesus Christ? Or all of them? The manifest presence. Hallelujah. Most times when we talk about manifest presence, we talk about history. You know, remember the Bible, when the Bible says, and Jesus was teaching and the power of God was present to him. Do you know that place? You remember? Jesus was teaching and then the presence of God, the power of God was present to him. Do you remember that, place in the Bible? Yes. Remember that story? Okay. As you look for it, so that we read it. Because the light where Michael is looking at me, he's getting his head. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus was teaching, the Bible said the power of God was present to him. I can't really remember. In that place, the power of God was present to him. To look for his abiding manifest presence. Anyone with that scripture? My phone is here, I've forgotten it. Anybody? I am a professional search engine machine. I can see such scriptures in the Bible. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus was teaching and the power of God was present. So why you just put power on present and then look for it? Check the four gospels. You definitely find a scripture here. It's as simple as that. If I have a phone, I can easily get it. Anybody with a phone, let me open it for you. Luke 5:17. Alright. Luke 5:17. And this is the only place it was said in scriptures. Hallelujah. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by which we are
by which we are come out of the bed every time of Galilee and Judah. And the power of the Lord was what? Present to him.
Now, you all of us are aware that Jesus Christ has been healing every other day. That's true. But that particular day, the power of God was present in an exceptional way. This is the only place where we can say we, according to theology, where we have the manifest presence of God in the life of Jesus Christ. He was Jesus Christ. He didn't need any manifest presence. Are you that?
For that day, the presence and the density was higher.
Exodus 33, verse 14 to 15. When the Israelites were moving, they were talking to Moses. Hallelujah. And then Moses was talking to God. He said, we will not move until your presence go with us. He was talking about, now, presence in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. The Old Testament is written in which language? Hebrew and Aramaic. Is that correct? Now, in the Old Testament, the manifest presence of God, they used to see visibly the sun in the night and in the afternoon, what? Cloud. That's correct. Now, God said that I will leave because they sin, and then I will send an angel to lead you. He's going to do everything that I'm going to do. Then the Bible says the angel will bring them deliverance and take them down to that place. But now, Moses seeking God means you desire Him manifestly. If you want to minister, what do you pray for? I don't know for you, but if you want to minister, what do you pray for? You should pray that Lord touch life, manifest, heal, break legs, let the anointing be powerful. Or what do you pray for when you want to minister? Personally, I have learned most of when all I need is that manifest presence, like to be able to know when it is upon me, or when it's upon me, it always make, forget everything. You're like, just imagine you are praying for, Lord, I want money to buy shoe, I want money to buy car, I want money to buy a phone. And then one prayer point, Lord, make me a millionaire. What's a millionaire? All those other prayer points are solved. Is it true?
Yes.
I'm praying, Lord, give me a phone, give me a shoe, give me a shirt. These are good prayer points, like you are about to minister. Lord, heal somebody, speak to somebody. These are good prayer points. But when you say, Lord, I want to be a millionaire, and God has answered you, you are a millionaire, all those prayer points are solved. That is the way I pray for the manifest presence. But once in here, forget every other thing. It will work. Forget utterance. Utterance will come. Forget the healing. As you are talking, just let the presence be there. People will be healed. All together. I was listening to Benny Hinn when he said that there was a time he was in his room and was praying, Lord, don't leave me. Then God said, no, I have left you long ago. So what did you say? I had, he said, he lay on the floor. Is it for 21 days? No food, no water. He said, he's not seeing anybody. God, you can kill my wife. You can kill anybody. But don't take your presence away from me. Remember Psalm 51 says, from verse 9 down to 11, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me, but restore unto me what? The joy of your salvation. The greatest access you can have is an intimate and a manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't know for you, but all of you that have ministered before, you know, and I know, that once the Holy Spirit is manifest and you know that it's around, it's always different. It's always different. Altogether, it's not like when I preach John 3:16. You know, Billy Graham, the only text he used to preach till he's dead was John 3:16. Is it true? You know that? His only text was John 3:16. When anytime he comes up to preach, you can research, was John 3:16 that me and you know. For God so loved the world. That's anything, right? That he came to only because he said, you know the man that started the Salvation Army?
Yeah.
William Booth and Catherine Booth. That was also his text. John 3:16. But me and you can preach John 3:16. I will never see the kind of crowd that Billy Graham. So with that miracle, why? Because it's not just in the words. I can say you are blessed, and I can say myself you are blessed. The same words, the impact will be different. Why? Because of the kind of spirit that is backing that words. How do you get that? But because of the density, you know, demons are in ratios and proportions. A madman has a higher concentration of a demon than an armed robber. Armed robber also have demons, but a madman have a higher concentration of demons. How do you get that? That is the way you can get with the Holy Spirit. You can know Him to a level. There are things that meat will never tell me. Never. Why? Because I have not gotten to a level for him to be able to be so confidential in telling that. He's not secure with that kind of information. How are you sure that that information is not a detector to himself? That's true. But there's a level that I get close to him that there's nothing he will not tell me. Some people say that people, everybody, there's a statement that I used to hear that everybody has skeletons in his cupboard. Have you heard that kind of thing before? Everybody has skeletons in his cupboard. What that means is there are things you will never tell anybody. You will never tell anybody. But there are people you don't mind telling them. Because that person has gotten to a level in your life that you can tell him anything. You have anybody has somebody like that? You can tell them anything. I can tell you from experience, you should not have plenty of people like that though. You hear me?
Yes.
Be very, very confidential with your information. Be very, very confidential. Hallelujah. Until you are sure that this person, my information is safe with that person. Don't just, I'm talking about including us that you can meet us for counseling and direction, including me. There are things you don't tell me if you don't trust me, unless you trust me. Because until you get to a point where you can believe that what you told me is safe, I will never use it against you. There are people that once I tell them something about me, their perception of me change. And there are people that even if I tell them, my perception of them will never change. Few people have the grace to be able to know information about people and never change. It's really few. There are people that can get close to you and they will never be familiar with you, no matter how close they get. Even if they are the one washing your boxers, they will never get familiar with you. But there are people that a little closeness, they are familiar with you. Think about the person that barbed the first NHS here. You should be able to go to the barber that holds his head and barbs it. That they are different ways, there's somebody that holds his head. Well, do you think about things like that, don't they? No, they're not pastors. Some of them are not pastors. Yes, I've had Pastor David Yebiebe last week. He went to his show. You don't know about pastors. But if he goes here frequently, he's normal. Ah, he's on the point. He doesn't bat his head, normal. Yes. Somebody do their laundry for them. But there's somebody else looking for an opportunity to just touch his clothes. Just touching that clothes will change his life forever. I hope you know that. But the person that looks under the eye is a shirt that just touches normally. And then nothing else. The same shirt. But because they are getting familiar with it. But there's somebody that can be so close and so proximate that every time he has an opportunity, he's not familiar with it. But few people have that grace. Let's go back to where we are on. Hallelujah. So desire for abiding and manifest. And then let me tell you something. You know, this Friday, so I can be able to tell you three times. Try as much as possible. That when you have opportunity to greatness, when somebody open up this opportunity, and all of us are going to places. Let me tell you something about big men. I'm not a big man, but I know something about big men. Altogether, big men, once they give you opportunity, they monitor you. They monitor the way you behave. When they open a door for you, they monitor the way if you value the door, respect it, and consistently value it, they'll open greater doors for you. There are people that will not give you money necessarily, but they will open, they have access to doors, and they'll open it for you. So anytime you have access to a great man, never ever take it for granted. Never get familiar with them. Never, if there was a time that calling them was a privilege, don't get to a point that you can flash them, and you can send them a message, and then you can send them a message, and instead of using writing Y-O-U, you are writing you. There are people, I can never send a text to my mentor or my spiritual father, and it's me, I can't. It's wrong. Using a that is telling, what you are telling the person is, you're my buddy now. I mean, you don't understand. There are people that, no matter how low you relate, a sense of decorum must be maintained. People are sensitive, especially people at the top. There's nobody at the top that's not sensitive. They are sensitive to slightest things like that. And when they think that this person is different, they will grab your assets, and that is how you will grow. People don't grow because of certificates. Dr. Remis was saying something. Dr. Remis was saying that his closest pastors, he don't even know the call is funny. He doesn't know. That is somebody that has 3,000 pastors. Yes. 3,000 pastors. He said, he doesn't care about whether I have a class or that class. He doesn't care. All he needs to know is you love me and you value him and you're loyal. What he's also doing is that he will give you sense, and that is how you rise.
And that's the truth.
That's the truth. Let them, nobody problem because you got a reality. No. But when they study you and you are sensitive, that is it. They pick you and they begin to promote you, and nobody can stop your promotion. So most times it's about knowing how to behave when you get close to intimate people. When you open a door for you, there's a way to keep the door open. How to get that? There's a way to keep the door open. So when you desire a manifest presence, always having and abiding, you always want to feel God. You always want to have God. How to get that? Now most times when I want to minister, sincerely my greatest cry, every time, is let God be with me. Let me be able to feel that thing. Hallelujah. So let that be your cry. Let that be your cry. And my mom was telling me of when she was looking for interview 19 something years ago. She was a good Christian girl, so she prayed, Lord help me. So she just pressed up with the answer, 9 times 9. That was the interview panel. 9 times 9. So she got the answer, but somebody has been saying 49. You know Penina? Have you ever heard of Penina? Penina is one of the only school in the north out of them. People that go there are the elite in the north. That was how she got the scholarship. Yes. Hallelujah. Because she always wanted God to be with her. She always wanted God to be with her. Because having that abiding presence will make the whole difference for you. Are we together? So always desire it. Always desire it. When you are before an interview panel, hallelujah. When you are going for an interview, when you are giving a proposal, desire it. There is something that can come upon a paper. And then when you pick a paper, I have been in the, if you have been in the paper, sometimes when you just pick a particular paper, you don't want to drop it. Don't pick a particular name. This name just stops your mind. I don't think there's a move for you. But if you are doing, like, I remember someone just going and doing, I don't like that. A name will just speak. Now, you're just dropping this person. Something about the name stops your mind. How you get that? So, a name, there's something about When how many people apply to Empower? 4 million people or 11 people? The person doing the interview, as he's scrolling, and then just call, this person, just take it and think. Who knows it can happen? That's the way it can happen. But because there's something exceptional about that name. Something can come upon you, a manifest presence. Don't just seek for the normal, seek to be able to have God intimately. That his presence is still manifesting. There was a time I started this desire. I said, how it happened was, we were in a prayer meeting and then somebody came and sat down close to me. He was a prayer coordinator. When he sat down close to me, I could feel like something around. Like you could feel like he was not alone. Like there was something, just like this atmosphere around me. Then I read of William Branham and then John G. Lake that 7 meters away from him, nobody could get close. Another 7 meters. 7 meters, if you get close, you will fall. It was like a wave around him. You will not go close. That was the way he lived in his life. 7 meters. Unless he probably said, okay, come close to me. That was how dense the presence of God was with him. So that was the time I was praying, Lord, I want that kind of thing. I want that kind of thing. I want that kind of thing. I was probably praying, I want that kind of thing. I want that kind of thing. Then after a while, after praying, fasting, I remember I got to a class one day. There was a girl, her name was Susan. She almost slept with almost, I know she slept with, I know a couple of boys in the class that slept with her. All of them, she was all like, woman rapper. Everybody that doesn't want to enjoy his night. She was available. Hallelujah. One deliverance church, we were doing deliverance for her. She came for a program in FCI and we did deliverance for her. Leave me alone, I don't want it. Now the demon, you could hear a male voice speaking to her. I was there, when that was told. I was sitting in a lower level, chemical, she was in chemical engineering with us. I was on 200 level. And then she came, and then she fell down, they brought her out. The main voice was speaking through her. Leave me alone, I don't want, leave me. That was how she stood and walked out. Yes. As she stood and walked out. But that's the kind of person I'm talking about. So, one day when I wanted to take 10 presence, so I was in the lecture, I was sitting down, praying. Then she came. She came and sat down. She was approaching, sit down with the seat next to me. And she just got in there, the way she jumped back with speed. She looked at me, and then she ran. And then when I said, I became excited, yeah, it's happening. Yeah. Even though that was childish anyway. But I was just excited that she could feel something around me. How do you get that? Yes, it could happen to you when you desire such intimacy. I want the manifest presence of God. I want when people come around them to feel something around me. Because that is the beginning of the supernatural. Okay, that, because when he is there, he attacks anything that doesn't look like him. Okay, that, when the Holy Spirit is manifest with you, he attacks anything around you. That is the way you cannot be affected by a disease or by a virus. That is the way a car that you are in cannot collapse. When you are about approaching an accident, the accident will stop. Okay, that, most times, just carry your phone, Google, supernatural escape, or supernatural happening, supernatural things, supernatural this. Just go bullies once in a while. And then you watch videos of people that ask the next step, like their leg was suspended and then they brought it back. And then that was what the unbelievable happened. The dog was sitting there, and they up. And they stood up, somebody fell a metal that dug the hole downward. Okay, that? Yes. So desire that manifest presence. Desire it. Desire it. I read of a man that in his honeymoon. Honeymoon, he was kissing the wife fell down. How many of you want that kind of thing? Okay, I don't want it to happen. But yes, I'm telling you, yes, he was saying that the honeymoon, the wife was kissing him. She fell down under the power. Unless it was electrified. How did the Lord reduce this thing? Hallelujah. But it's good. God was trying to tell the wife something probably. Hallelujah. This is your mind. In case you think it's normal, not normal. Fell down under the power. Honeymoon. Hallelujah. Why? Because the presence of God was manifest. Many times, I've been in church, all of us have been in church and said, God is here, God is here, God is here. You need to tell people that God is here, because there's a time that God is here, you don't need to tell anybody that God is here. They will know. When there is someone here, you don't need to know. I remember the first time I went to a place where if they are smoking, you could see smoke like mosquito coil on the air. No mosquito coil. That's what you see. You could see that. That was the way the whole place. The trees were drying because of smoke. Ha! That was when I know people can smoke. In the daytime, I'm telling you literally, smoke was like mosquito coil in the atmosphere. I said, what? People on the tree were smoking on the ground in the atmosphere. Everybody was smoking. Big cigarettes, their eyes were red. I see, that is the way God can be manifest. I remember the first time I went to Access Bank. I went to open my 100 level account. I'm sharing plenty of stories. Hallelujah. As I entered the place, we don't have AC in my house. Hallelujah. My parents are not that they bought us. So I've never been to an AC much. Hallelujah. So when I opened the bank and I stepped in, you know that kind of atmosphere? You know that kind of atmosphere? But after that trek, just open that atmosphere. That is the difference between the manifest presence and border presence. You could know that is a difference. Hallelujah. That's the difference. So desire that kind of thing in your life. Desire to know the Holy Spirit so much that you can carry him visibly, that you can feel his ear. That when somebody thought you can feel his ear, hallelujah. Because that is my desire. And then another thing what it means to desire and seek intimacy is constant dwelling in his habitations. Psalm 23 verse 9, Psalm 23 verse 6, Psalm 26 verse 8, Psalm 27 verse 4, just write it down, I will quote them, Psalm 65 verse 4, and Psalm 84 verse 4, Psalm 23 verse 6, Psalm 26 verse 8, Psalm 27 verse 7, Psalm 65 verse 4, Psalm 84 verse 4 and 10. Remember Psalm 23 verse, should be the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy. Will I come again? I should come again. Man, desire to constant dwelling in his habitations. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Are we together? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And then Psalm 27 verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I what? Seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now the first step to intimacy is seeking to dwell in his presence. Hallelujah. David was speaking in Psalm 65 verse 4, says,
I'd rather spend a day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. The first step to understand somebody is spending time with the person. That's true?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Sir, just welcome. We are looking at intimacy. Praise God. The first way to understand somebody is to spend time with the person. The more you stay with somebody, even without words, you'll be able to understand somebody. Hallelujah. I read the post of somebody today. He said that he wished he could pause the time he spent with somebody to be able to have more understanding of the individual. Because the more time I spend, even without speaking, I'll be able to know more about you. The more you spend a long time with the Holy Spirit, just sitting down alone with your phone, with your Bible, hearing him talk to you, hearing his voice, talking with him and hearing him answer or hide or watching him keep quiet. When you know, distant relationship is difficult most times. Because when I say, have you eaten? Yes, I've eaten. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. There is a limit to that communication because it's just audio. When it's visual, you can be, have you eaten? Yes, I'm eating. But when I do, yes, I'm eating, you know, something is wrong. That's true. What it means that I'm really eating, but I'm not really eating. It means I'm eating, but I'm not really eating well. So when you have audio and video, it makes the information richer and stronger. That's true. It means it. So the more you spend time with the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to know his silent leading. When the Holy Spirit is quiet, or when you're in the room and the room is just quiet, or he's not even saying anything, it means something. That's true. Two powerful lovers, even when they are alone, alone in the room, without saying a word, you know that the person is communicating. You're just okay. Because when you're with somebody you love, time runs fast. Because even though they say, tell me, I don't go now. Me, it's true. Hallelujah. You could stay all night talking with the person on the phone all through the night. You know, but when they say light vigil now, when they say let's study chemistry, by 2, you say your brain is saturated. So by spending time with the person, you're able to understand more, understand more, understand more, understand more, understand more. You can never be intimate with the Holy Spirit if you don't spend time. There is no two way about it. The only thing that will happen is you will hear about him. You will hear from Benihim. You will hear from Pastor Chris. You hear from people, oh, the Holy Spirit is sweet. And then you sing sweet songs of his sweet intimate presence. But you don't really understand what it really means until you do it yourself. How do you get that? Until you personally alone, stay alone. And then desire his habitation, desire his presence, desire alone. And say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, altogether, just alone with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are things that the Holy Spirit will never tell you in public. But there are things you will never understand about somebody in public until you are alone. Is it true? Many things people don't tell you in public. But even if you are two, let's say you have 3 friends. And they want to tell the person, you wait until when the other person is not around. And then you'll be able to pass out that information. There are many things the Holy Spirit will not relate to you until you are alone. Alone. And then you'll be able to understand certain aspects and certain dimensions of him. Hallelujah. So you must learn and desire his habitation. You must love getting alone. You must love getting alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now desire and have deep pursuit of him. When we say desiring and having a deep pursuit, you know the Bible speaking in Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and what? His righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. Hallelujah. And then you'll be able to self-abandon yourself to be able to experience his presence. The more you spend time with the Holy Spirit, the more you'll be able to understand his do's and don'ts. The more you'll be able to understand his wants and his desires. The more you'll be able to understand how long will you be able to take this? Praise God. I told you of a young guy, my roommate when we were in school. He woke up in the morning and he just felt like he should be in Zaria, and then he picked his bag and traveled to Zaria to see Apostle Selman. Hallelujah. And then when he arrived in Zaria, he knew he was a proper fool. You know what I mean? Just carry your bag and say, you want to go to Canaan land, I want to see Bishop Edebo. And they just arrived in Canaan land, and then he just arrived at the gate. He said that when he arrived there, he knew he was a proper fool. That was in his words. Hallelujah. And then he was just there. Travel to Zaria from KC because you see somebody I've never met. I don't even have his phone number. I don't even know where the meeting is holding. Together. But he just knew the Holy Spirit asked me to move there. And then when he moved there, he began to pray and began to pray. That was how he got accommodation. And then that was the beginning of his father was into the occult. Hallelujah. Was into the occult. And just being there, he never met a man even once. Anyway. But just obeying that instruction was what delivered his family. And his father just died 2 months before that. That was the deliverance of his family. All of them would have ended in doom. As he was praying, he was seeing the vision of a man appearing to him and saying, no, you must leave this place. Now that was a young guy that was into a lot of things. Hallelujah. As he got there, he began to understand that God can speak to somebody. God can say, remove your shoe. God can say, leave this place and move this place to pray. God can say, now as you pray, the more he does it, the more he did it, the more he prays, the more he longed for it, the more he went deeper. That was the Holy Spirit said, okay, when you return, do this, when you return, do this, when you return, do this. And that was how his family began to be saved. Are you getting that? And the more you get to know him, the more you desire, and then you obey every instruction. You can be alone, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, now you don't need to worship, just pray. Pray in tongues. Now you don't need to pray, don't just read the Bible. What do you know the Holy Spirit can tell you that? How do you get that? The Holy Spirit can be reading the Bible. Most of it can be reading now. So say, no, it's not time to read the Bible. It's time to pray now. And start praying. It's now stop praying. Worship. Stop worshiping. Read this book. Now move to this. How do you get that? Then what you do is you'll be able to understand instructions like that. And then you'll be able to understand them in details. And then you'll be able to, okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you'll be able to understand what it means. On Wednesday we looked at understanding or developing your spiritual sense. Is that right? Now, like I said to somebody now, when you feel a sensation, it means to worship. You too? To somebody now, okay, when you feel a sensation, it means to be quiet. When I feel the anointing to minister, most times I'll prepare silence. But there are people that cannot preach without the keyboard on. Is that not true? That is because of the different dealings that they have and because of the different kind of sensation. Personally, when it is on, it distracts me. But then when it's not on, they are distracted. Why? Because of our intimacy dealings with the Holy Spirit is not the same. So I have to understand now. And before I was used to Selma, so me too, I like the keyboard. After a while, I said, this thing was not working for me. I have to understand that personally, silence is my key. How do I know that? I learned it personally as I went and I pursued God. I learned that most of the time, I let the atmosphere to be quiet. That is when I can hear clearly. Somebody else, until a sound is on, he doesn't hear well. Somebody else can pray with a message playing. Somebody else can pray with a song playing. Somebody else can't. Is anybody here that can play with some playing? Is anybody that can't? Personally, I prefer silence. I like the place to be quiet. That is my dealing. And then I can, what the sound is on, it distracts me. So as you get to him, you will know your unique instruction. How do you get that? You'll be able to know your unique pattern and the unique way God deals to him. Like I said, God does not deal with all of us the same way. As you know him, you'll be able to understand the way he deals with you uniquely. Praise God. Praise God. So what are the keys to intimacy with him as it relates to the Holy Spirit? One is desire for it. Hallelujah. Now desire for it. Psalms 82 verse 4. You must first of all have a desire. You must first of all have a desire for it. You must want it. Hallelujah. You must want it. You must first of all want intimacy. You must first of all want to be able to know him. Psalms 84 verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for what? For the living God. Hallelujah. Without a desire, you never assess. In Mark chapter 7 verse 6, I believe, the Bible says, you don't cast pearls to swines. You don't cast precious things to what? People that wouldn't value it. Hallelujah. The first thing for somebody to be committed to you is you must express a desire to eat. I want you. Altogether, I want you. I desire you. I love your presence. I want you to be around my life. Altogether. That is the whole mystery behind proposals. You have to verbalize your desire. You have to, in a way, communicate what do you really want. Hallelujah. You must communicate the Holy Spirit, I really want time with you. I really want to be intimate with you. I really want to understand you. I really want to understand the way you move. I want to understand the way you operate in life. How does these things happen? When the sick are healed, how does it really happen? I want to understand. When people prosper, what is the dynamic between behind prosperity? How do people really prosper? How do that? When people say that they worship and then they are crying, how does it really happen? Do you ask some questions like that? How do that? How does it really happen? When people say they are worshiping, I remember those days, early when I was in school, when I see Dr. Paul and Nancy worshiping and crying like a small child. Three children is why. My short person like this, crying in the audience, crying sometimes, you see, eyes red, shedding tears. I knew the eyes. So I said, Lord, why does he cry? Then I began to watch. I said, I want to know. Then one day I remember I was listening to Toby Aladdin. And then I was crying as saliva was coming out of my nose. Even I was alone in the room anyway. I was like, I now understood why somebody like that can be crying. How did that? There's a level you get to that only tears communicate your heart's panties or your heart speaking. So the more you get to know, the more you'll be able to, you just desire it, just want it. I wanted to cry like him anyway, so I wanted it. Because I know if he's crying, it meant something. He's my spiritual father, so anything he does, I want to do it. Hallelujah. So I want to be able to cry like him. Say, why is it like that? So I wanted it. I want to be able to know that when the Holy Spirit says there is somebody there, I used to see people point hand in the audience, and if somebody from that place is getting here, you see that there is somebody around here is getting here, left at the left right center. I wanted to know, how will I know that it's at the left right center? That's not true. Does not make me serious. Does it baffles you? I don't know for you, but it baffles me. What will somebody say right in the center row at the place of what is happening? How did he know? Like at the center. He would not say anywhere, God is doing something like that, but he knew it was at the center and then at the when you think that was all amazing. Now at the back here, seven of you are falling down, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How did you know it was the back? I want to know that kind of thing. Do you want to know? I want to know it. So when you desire, because desire is what births your desire and your longing. How do people worship and they cry? I wanted to know it. I wanted to know why do they cry. You know that's somebody can cry like I said before. Someone asked a question, why do we sing? When we leave our house to worship, some people are wondering, why are we crying? What is even wrong with this person? Ladies and their emotionality. Why are people crying? So I wanted to know, why do people cry when people stand to worship? I wanted to know, when people fall, they wave their hand like this. Why do they make people fall? Have you asked questions like that? Alone, I'm asking all these people, why is it that somebody pull his shoe and do like this? And me, I'll pull my own and nothing will happen. How do you get that? Why would somebody sit down in a seat and people are rushing to sit down in a seat? And then me, I'll sit down and stand down and nobody even hear you sat down in that chair. Hallelujah. Have you ever wanted to sit down in somebody's chair before? Have you ever wanted it? You do have wanted it. Why? But have you ever wondered why is it like that? But when they stand down, something around them drops in the chair. And then I ask a lot of questions alone. Hallelujah. So first of all, you have to desire it. You have to want it. You want to want it. Altogether, you have to want it.
The way to knowing something is to desire it. The way to be intimate with somebody is to desire it. Desire the longing of presence. If I am with means, and his presence means nothing to me. I don't even want him. I am coming to see your father. I say, no, I don't want him to come. When you want to come to see me next time, you say, ah, you don't even want my presence. No, see. But when you know that every time you are around, I am excited. Every time you are around, I am excited. I want you to come. What are you doing? Are you busy? You can come over. You can come over. You will want to come again next time. Because you know I desire and I long for your presence. That is the way it is. When the Holy Spirit understands that you communicate that I want to know you. I want to spend time. Remember Philippians 3 verse 10. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in your suffering. So communicating that desire alone makes him to want to be intimate with you. Altogether, I wanted an angel to wake me up in the night to pray. I wanted to be able to have supernatural encounters. I wanted, and all of those things I wanted, I asked about, I've experienced them. Do you understand what I'm speaking about? All the things I've ever wanted, once you want it, you desire it and then you go for it, it will happen. Hallelujah. I don't think about how I knew that the thing was in that place. Okay, then you can say, okay, left, right, center. You'll be able to say, whatever, I wanted it and then you go for it. I wanted to be able to experience the manifest presence of God where you could not move. I wanted to be in the room worshiping and the whole bed is shaking. Hallelujah. I wanted it. And I've experienced it. I wanted to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to me clearly. That I will know this is the voice of God. I wanted to be able to differentiate between the voice of my mind, the voice of circumstance, the voice of my parents, the voice of culture, and then the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be able to, anytime your father speaks, you'll be able to know whether, no matter how far it is it true? Because you are trained and inclined to understand his voice. That was why I wanted it. And then the way you wanted it, you go for it, and then it will become like that. You will never miss God. Never. There are people that don't miss God. Hope you know it's possible. That you will never miss God. If I say this thing, the Holy Spirit told me the color of this thing is purple. It will look like I've missed it. Is that correct? But there are people, I remember Joshua Suleiman was watching him, was prophesying to a family. Said that you are Igbo. See, the lady said, no, I'm Yoruba. You are Igbo. Say, no, I'm Yoruba. Say, okay, let me tell you about your family. So, say it's true. So, your father moved from the east and went to Yoruba land and cut off from the Igbo people, and that was how you told Yoruba. Hey! Of course, this was actually Yoruba. But now God told him that she's evil, and he's telling, how can you be telling me that like, I'm outside now? Let's say, somebody's coming to tell me that you're not outside. It will look absurd. Is that not true? Yes. But then we deep truth and then deep understanding. Somebody be able to understand that it is true and actually like that. Why? Because you desire a will for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the other one is keeping his command. John 14:21. The key to intimacy, the second one is keeping his commandment. Keeping his commandment. John 14:21. John 14:21. What does he say? John 14:21. He that had my word commandment and kept them, he it is that loved me. And he that loved me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will what? Come on. And will what? How many of you have been worshipping or doing something and the Holy Spirit say move and you remove the move and then he left you? Has it happened to anybody? Has it happened? Has it happened to any of us? The Holy Spirit gave you a sort and you disobeyed and he just withdrew from you. Has it happened to any of us? That's not what all of us here. Yes! Hallelujah. So, I tell you, all of you are obedient children. Wow, you have grief, really. That's what the Holy Spirit give you an instruction now. And then you be sitting like, yeah, let's see the Holy Spirit tell me now. There is somebody here that cannot spell his name. And then I say, you don't need the Holy Spirit to tell me something like that. You say, who is it that does not spell his name here? Even me myself, I'll be afraid to say that kind of thing. That's not true. But then, if I refuse to say, the Holy Spirit can just lay me on the stage, and then I continue ministering in the flesh. So obeying his commandment will make him to manifest himself to you in a greater dimension. Altogether, obeying his commandment. What are his commandments? What are his laws? Altogether, the more you obey God's instruction, the closer you get. The Bible says he will manifest himself to you. It's like he will condense to a form that you can see him and understand him. Altogether, so keeping his commandment, what has God told you to do? In every intimacy, intimacy gets bad. Let's say in a relationship now, I don't like you calling me by 6 p.m. And then you call me every time by 6 p.m. I won't be smiling at that. Will I be smiling? No. You're not keeping my commandment. Is this something you have? Don't call me by, what is 6 p.m.? Let your phone not call me. That is a commandment. Not doing it will make me not to like you. Or make me to withdraw from me. It's like you're hurting me. That's what the lady say. Hallelujah. Like you're hurting me. So keeping the commandment will make the Holy Spirit draw closer to you. Altogether, it is simple. Don't lie. It means don't lie. Don't say this one is a white lie. White lie is a professional lie. Or it's a customary, or it's a, you just need to meander your way. No. Doing that will withdraw from you. Don't fornicate. Don't explain it. Hallelujah. Don't say, I can speak in tongues after. No. I read the story of the guy that after fornicating, he went to the angular and tried shabalaka. It's okay. The Holy Spirit has not left me. He has not left you, but his manifest person has left you. Hallelujah. The school life story, all my stories are true. Praise God. You know, once in a while, in those times, labaraga, the tongue is still there. The Holy Spirit has not left you. Yeah. But his manifest presence has left you. His omnipresence has not left you, but his manifest presence has left you. All together. So what we're talking about is his manifest presence. When he says, don't cheat, don't gossip, don't backbite. Simple commandments. Intimate people, the closer you get, the more stricter are your rules. All together. Me and you can do certain things and God will forgive. But there are certain things that our fathers in the faith, when they do it, their punishment is not forgiving. So you know that. The more intimate you go, the thicker your roots. Altogether, in the beginning now, you can easily sleep when you are praying, or you can easily insult somebody, you can easily not pay your tithe and God will forgive you. You can easily not do something, I will easily do something that prostitute is doing me. Like, if today I stop paying my tithe, I'll become broke. Yes. But you cannot, you may not even be a dad for 6 months and you see open doors is still on, hallelujah. Because you are still a baby. But the more you grow, the tighter your instructions, the more intimate you get. You know what is, what about love is, the more closer you get to somebody, the more vulnerable you become. Is it true? The closer you open your heart to somebody, the more vulnerable you become. If this is my fiancé now, somebody can do something to me, it will not hurt me, but if she does it, it hurts me. Is it true? Why? Because to her, your vulnerability is higher. How do you get that? Your vulnerability is higher. The more closer you get to somebody, often and often a time, you become more vulnerable to the person. How do you get that? That is the way it gets with the Holy Spirit. The closer you get, the more easily you can easily hurt him. How do you get that? If he has given you access to your heart and open up your heart to him and you get very, very close, he becomes, I don't want to use the word, the right word is not he become more vulnerable, it's wrong, hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit can never become vulnerable. But it's like you are too close that the slightest thing you do can pain his heart, can make him grieve. You know, the Bible says grieve not the Holy Spirit, can make him feel sorrowful. I trusted you not to do this. How about me? But this is your level. I trusted you not to do this. Hallelujah. Praise God. So keeping his commandment is the key, the second key to intimacy. The more you obey him, he will get closer to you. You are attracted to anybody that obeys you. Everybody is attracted to anybody that obeys you. I give an instruction and you obey, I get closer to you. I'll be able to give you a second one. You obey that one, I take another step closer. I give you another one. Is that not true? The more you obey, my steps get closer, you get getting closer. And I'll get to a point that I am sure you'll be able to keep it. So obeying instruction with the
of keeping the word of God will make you become more intimate with God. Hallelujah. And then you must love the supernatural and you must love spirituality. Colossians 3 verse 1. Your desire for the supernatural and your longing for spirituality will increase your intimacy level. You are not moved by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says we are not moved by sight, but we are moved by what? Faith. So then as you begin to desire more for the supernatural, it increases your intimacy level. Hallelujah. You'll be able to talk to you in a better way, and you'll be able to understand it in a better way. The more you are moved by things that are spiritual rather than things that are more physical, you are not moved by the things you see. Hallelujah. But when the Holy Spirit takes you, leave this place now. Move this place now. Hallelujah. You move. When he says run, you begin to run. When he says alight from this car, you alight. Hallelujah. When he says pick this car, join this train, you join. The more you are moved, inside, you are not moved by physical. When people say, is your brain not working? Can't you see that picking a job in this company is your ruin, but your spirit told you this. And then you obey. And then that's it. How you get that? When you say you are moving towards a particular journey, and you say your spirit or just have, you know, most of the Christians will say, something told me. You know how we say? Something told me not to enter this car. Something told me not to do this. Something not, no, but when something told them, but on the natural, you just see a new Mercedes-Benz. E-class series, auto navigator, shock absorbers, leather seat. See, this car will have accident. No, you cannot have accident. It's not true. So if you enter the car, the only thing you say, I like from this car, enter this Toyota that looks like a prayer point. On the physical, it doesn't work. How many of you know how Princess Diana died? Now she died. In the way she died, it was going to be like a pleasure. Like, okay, let me take an example now. If you go to a restaurant, all of us, most times if you go to a born-again restaurant, you don't pay over the food. Because we know that even by the money we have paid, the food is sanctified. One plate is 2.5. Most times you don't pay over that kind of food. When you go to Mama Food now, it's 200 naira and they serve you. You pay. That's not anointing poison in the name of Jesus Christ. But there's a kind of food, but in the natural now, the only thing will tell you, no, this food, you should not eat it. Because you are spiritually inclined to be able to obey. Even though it's looking like it's well balanced, well arranged, the lines of the bill is balanced, everything. But in the spiritual now, you just see. So the more you are just, and then when you, the more you are inclined to the spiritual than the natural, the more intimate you become. You see a tall, dark, and handsome brother with a job, with GT bar, a managerial position, and this is the person that you want to say he should marry you. And then somebody like me comes to you and say, I want to marry you. In the natural, you don't even need to pray. You know who is the person you marry. As a sister, is that not true? But that's the natural now. But in the spiritual, the Holy Spirit can say, okay, you know, this is the person you should marry. But most times, we are moved by the physical. That is why we don't get as far as we should. All you get that? We don't get, because we are moved by the physical, by the peripheral. And the most of the things that we see in the physical are fake. We are only judged by a 3D dimension, and life is more than that. More than the physical is always fake, or often fake. Hallelujah. We put a good look on the outside, but inside is not true. So the more you are focused on spiritual things, the more intimate you get with the Holy Spirit, and the more supernatural you become. How do you get that? The more supernatural you become. The more you are focused on the things beyond the natural, beyond what you can see, beyond what you can touch, beyond what you can smell, beyond what you can perceive. You are focused on the spiritual. What is God saying? What is God saying? Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Should I focus on this? Shouldn't I focus on this? What should I move? Hallelujah. I don't move on the physical signs that we see. You'll be able to get deeper into Him. Hallelujah. And the deeper you obey, the more you obey, the better it becomes. All together? Yes, sir. Like I said, don't forget, time in His presence is the first foundation. Spend time there the more. The more you spend time, it's easier to understand, it's easier to grasp, and it's easier to work with. And I believe as we do that, our life will become better. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our life will become better in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, can you on our feet? First of all, I want you to talk to God and say, Father, I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want to really understand you. I want to have an intimate and a deep relationship with you. I want to understand you. I want to have an intimate and a deep relationship with you. I want to know you beyond words. I want to know you beyond physical understanding. Are you praying? Communicate your desire. Communicate how far you want to go with God. And then communicate your desire to obey His commandment. Communicate your desire to obey His commandment. Lord, grant me the grace to obey your commandment. I want to get intimate. I want to know you deeper. I want to understand you. Grant me the grace to keep your commandment. Grant me the grace to keep your words. Grant me the grace to walk with you, to walk with the Lord as I should. Grant me the grace.
Jesus.
lives.
In the name of Jesus, I pray for your mind any spiritual antagonism to your love and your pursuit with God. Any satanic resistance, any demonic force. In the name of Jesus, I pray for God that I speak to every voice in your mind. I speak to every voice in your spirit, resisting you and stopping you from getting deeper. Pressing into number, pressing into going deeper in fellowship. In the name of Jesus, I speak to your voice. I speak to that spirit. I speak to that challenge. Father, I pray that today in this atmosphere, lifted forever in the mighty name of Jesus. The next time you desire to spend time with God, you will be here and you will be there. Say to remain alone and to pursue Him. The next time you desire to obey His commandment, the strength and the stamina to obey will be available for you in the name of Jesus Christ. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened to be able to go farther and farther. Your work is deep in the name of Jesus Christ. One of you will be chapters in His spirit. One of you will be babies in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to appreciate the of God for coming today. Hallelujah. Praise God.
The compass you need has just been delivered into your hands. You can get all the anointed messages on our Telegram channel at Shekinah Encounter Center Sermons. For more inquiries, you can also call 080-6522-6276 or 080-2611-2114. Remain rapturable.